Hey there, folks.
Hey there, folks.
Hey there, folks.
Hey
Hello,
there,
everybody.
Folks.
We can't laugh at ourselves.
Well, hey there, folks.
I was wondering if you'd catch on.
I knew that's what you were doing.
This is the Slay Queens podcast.
The Slay Queens podcast. Slay Queens is a podcast dedicated to the discussion of true crimes that occur within the queer community.
This is a note to remember that the topics that we discuss can be very graphic and often lurid in nature. Listener discretion has been advised.
Hey folks, before we get started, Ashley and I just wanted to pop on and let everybody know that this episode has been edited by your podcast editor.
Yes, and if you have a podcast, you can contact him and receive two edited episodes totally free. You can find him on Instagram at yourpodcastedit. Save time, take your podcast to the next level.
I love it.
Hi, hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Hi, hi, hi.
How you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing phenomenally well.
Phenomenally well?
I don't know.
Wow.
I'm trying.
All the adjectives and adverbs and
I'm drinking the caffeine I'm trying to be excited about today. I'm excited to be here with you.
Ashley is excited to be here with all of us, folks. But Ashley is post-COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
So those of us who have been vaccinated completely understand that just like... I got
haze.
Knocked on my ass, and, yeah. and now I'm walking around in a haze that
Pretty
happens
much.
The first couple of days after your vaccination. But congratulations, Ashley.
Well, thank you.
She's finally been able to get vaccinated, folks.
Yeah.
Since you are vaccinated and here with us and happy to be here, Ashley, tell the folks who we are.
And what we do.
And what we do.
We are the Slay Queens podcast, and we take a deep dive into the dark side of the rainbow.
That is correct. That is what we do, and that is who we are.
Yes.
So welcome, welcome, welcome back to all the queens, kings, and folks. And if this is your first time, also welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah, whether you are a queen, king, or folk.
That's right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here. We just love and appreciate all of you. And there's not much more to say about that.
That's
love,
right.
love, 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 love.
That's that on that.
That's that on that. So if it is your first time joining us... Hi, hello, welcome again. And we do a little thing here before we dive into the dark side of the rainbow. We do a little thing here called the Rainbow Star. Rainbow because we are queer persons. Star because we like to offer spotlights, give thank yous, make announcements or acknowledgments. And my favorite thing to say about this is give you unsolicited recommendations.
Totally.
Because nobody asks for them, but it's our show.
And we can do what we want.
We can do what we want with it. And again, we thank you all for being here and listening to those shenanigans.
That's right.
So, all right. Ashley, I think you have a really good spotlight.
I'm spotlighting
for
today.
For us, yes.
It's finally an update because we don't get many of these. And we always say, we'll give you an update when we get one. And we have one. So, drum roll, please.
I'm sorry. I'm not at all. I'm not at all. A
I was
musical
like, I can't
person.
Say this because he's not going to know what to do. But that was great. Thank you. Okay. That's a great drum roll. So if anybody remembers the name Brayla Stone, which you should from quite a few episodes back, there's finally been a sentencing. One Mr. Trayvon Miller has been sentenced to 50 years in prison for killing a transgender teen, which we know to be Brayla Stone. Officials say it was in an attempt to cover up a sexual relationship, which we were saying off mic is not surprising and only in our opinion because we've seen it before.
Yeah, we talk about that sort of thing a lot here. We haven't experienced anything quite that severe, obviously, as queer persons, Ashley and I. But if you are a person who has spent any significant time living within or around the queer community, that information should not be shocking to
right.
you.
Right, correct.
Yeah,
but we did get justice.
Yeah, we did get justice. I do question why it was a 50-year sentence.
I do too.
And not like a life without the possibility of.
I do too. I wonder if there was some kind of agreement or some kind of, I don't know, but.
Or like he pled out for like a manslaughter charge or something
Could
like that.
Be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. All right, but that is exciting. We did have an update on
it's
a case
update.
That we covered. And if you are unfamiliar with Brayla Stone, please scroll back on whatever platform you're listening to this current episode, after the episode ends, of course,
right.
and listen to our account of the life of the wonderful, beautiful, amazing Brayla Stone.
Yes, please.
All right, so I think we should move on to happier subjects.
That's right, and you can do the thank yous.
Thank yous. We would like to thank our newest fan folk over on the Patreon. And I did remember to get permission to use this person's name.
A name. So we have a name, folks.
For the first time in, I think, referencing the new patrons, I was actually a good adult. And we want to thank you, Justin Ware. He has been such a super fan in the short amount of time I've seen him pop up on our social medias. And as a patron, and we just love and appreciate you and your support. So thank you to Justin Ware.
Thank you.
All right. We also want to acknowledge the fact that we have gotten a little bit of feedback recently about how we sound just slightly different than we had prior. And as everyone knows, as we've referenced and mentioned several times, Ashley and I are not professional podcasters. We came into this not having any real experience with like audio recordings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we have made significant strides to improve the quality of our sound, but we are now also recording in a new space. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a learning curve yet again to figure out what sounds the best here in this space. So please bear with us. We're going to make it work.
We are going to make it work. It's a cute little space.
It's a great space. We just have to tweak a few things.
Literally, just this morning, Sierra was yelling at the dog, Harvey. She was like, Harvey, you can't go up there. That's for the cats and podcast only. It's our area and we can do with it what we want.
Exactly. So it may take a little bit of time and we might sound slightly different for a little while, but we appreciate you folks sticking it out with us.
Yes, thank you. We love you.
We do. We love you much. And now I think I'm going to let you take it with
my recommendations.
Yeah.
My turn. Oh, yeah. What was I going to recommend? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, this is probably going to be lost on a lot of people because they've probably already watched it. But I'm late to the game. And if you haven't yet, then you should watch the Fear Street trilogy. It's amazing. I didn't know going in like how good it was going to be. Like, I truly didn't. A lot of people told me how good it was going to be. And I'm like, yeah, OK, sure. But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. Really, I like how it all intertwines with one another. It's a great flow. By the end of it, when a certain thing happens, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that we even needed to circle back around to this. Like, yeah. It was great. It was great.
It was really, really, really well done. And I was a little bit hesitant to watch it myself.
I was wondering if it was going to be too juvenile for me.
Yeah, exactly. So I, as an adolescent, I was a fan of the Fear Street books, but not the Goosebump books.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I know that they had done things with R.L. Stein's Goosebumps series before, like maybe there was a TV show or something.
Yeah, I read all the Goosebumps books growing up, but they did have a TV show that kind of just like covered those books.
Yeah. Basically. And I wasn't a huge fan of those because it felt a little juvenile to me.
They very much.
Yeah.
And they're kids that are in that.
Exactly. It's meant for that like age group and that demographic of people. But I was hesitant with this Fear Street series, but I gave it a chance because it was Fear Street and I did like those books. As opposed to Goosebumps. And I have to agree. I think I watched the first one before the other two were released. And I was just biting nails.
I was so glad. I even said, I was like, oh, I'm so glad we're doing this. Like, we're late to the game, but I'm so glad there's all three here that I can just binge them.
Yeah, definitely. You were fortunate.
So yeah, if you haven't watched them yet, then yeah, you're fortunate in that aspect.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a long movie for y'all.
I will absolutely just throw, I will concur.
That's going to be their
stamp. That's going to be my, that's going to be my recommendation as well.
Stamp of Slay Queen's approval.
Exactly. Stamp of approval.
Yes.
All right. So have we done it? Have we officially come to
the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we are going to take a quick break, but we want you to stick around and listen to this story. This is an intense one, and Ashley has worked really hard on it. So
it's an in-depth one. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it. We'll be right back.
And it's Chime.
We are back again.
We are back.
All right. We're ready for it, Ashley.
Are you ready? You're just going to like have us dive right in, I guess. All right. Okay.
I feel like this is going to be kind of a long one, so.
You know, it was extraordinarily long, but I did try to condense quite a bit without taking too much away because there's a lot of, I guess, entertainment, if you will, based on this story. And in my opinion, I'll talk a decent amount about it. I feel like specifically the Hollywood produced movie King Cobra, 2016, James Franco movie. It's like, okay, that's part of the story.
Yeah.
It's a good film.
Yeah.
It's part of the story, but I wanted to make sure that we did justice to the rest of the story.
The actual story, yeah, not the full story. The Hollywood adaptation.
Exactly. Thank you. So I'll start with my sources. Of course, you know, I watched that movie as a refresher, just kind of like, okay, let's see what other people, you know, see when they think of this story. But I also went ahead and purchased, I guess it would be on Apple Books. This is the first time I did a digital download of a book. And well, except for I did one other one before, but I'm getting on this train now, thanks to you. Cobra Killer, The Gay Porn Murder, and The Manhunt to Bring the Killers to Justice. And that's by Peter A. Conway and Andrew E. Stoner. It's a good read. It's okay. A really good read. Like, if you're interested in this story, there's way more about the investigation. Like, I feel like in the movie and like different like articles and things, they kind of just rush to the end. That book really takes a deep dive into like the full investigation, who was involved, how they did the investigation, how long it took, all of that. You really get more of a sense of what actually happened.
I'll have to check and see if it's available on Audible, because you know I love my audiobooks.
Yeah, and it's only like 300 and something pages. Like, okay. It's not anything that's a huge commitment.
Yeah. And also, plug, 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 Audible sponsor us.
Yeah, right? I know, I was deciding, like, well, I don't even know where to download this. I'm just going to download it somewhere, and I'll use this for the rest of the time, because I don't know. So yeah, Audible, sponsor us. We'll use you all the time. Also, I read an article on RollingStone.com called Death of a Porn King. TimesLeader.com, which was a write-up from Snapped Killer Couples. I guess there was an episode about, spoiler alert, a couple involved in this. So yeah, I read that and I got a decent amount of information from that too that I hadn't known before.
And good for Snapped for doing like a queer couple.
Totally.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, so in the year 2007, Brian Kochis spent the last days of his life working trying to save his gay porn empire. Many neighbors say he was so intent and antisocial, his shades were drawn no matter what the time of day. Only a few years before this, Kochis had been an unemployed medical photographer in Dallas Township, a tiny community in Pennsylvania. He was so strapped for cash from his job loss and a lawsuit that he was in that he had been forced to declare bankruptcy. At this time in his life, though, he was one of the most successful producers of gay pornography in the country. Kochis created two legal entities with the name Cobra Video LLC, one in Pennsylvania in 2001 or 2002, depending on the source. I read conflicting. Okay. I mean, maybe it was at the end of 2001. Who knows? And the other was in Delaware in 2005. The garage of his home on Midland Drive had many an expensive car. A BMW, a Maserati, and an Aston Martin. And I had to include this because it just seemed like no matter where you read, that was like a fact that they had to put out there, was those three cars.
Those three cars.
And even in like the movie, that's like a point of contingency. Like he buys the Maserati and that's when like the guy that he's with is like, I gotta go. You know what I mean? So it's like a huge part of his story for some reason.
I wonder why that is.
I guess because they're, I mean.
Like a status symbol.
A Maserati, I mean, that's like more expensive than a lot of people's houses. So
yeah, I guess. Or maybe it's just because Britney Spears included it in that song.
That's so true. I mean, you want a hot body?
You want a Maserati?
But most of his wealth came from filming, and this is their words, everyone else's words, not mine, filming twinks, or young boys who are the age of consent but don't look it. And many would also claim that this was also like his type. Everyone claimed it. It wasn't many. It was everyone. They're like, everyone. Yeah, he just hired his type. Like, he liked the guys he liked, and he hired them because whatever. And I don't blame him. I mean, if you're going to be doing it, like, why wouldn't you want to like what you're looking at? Fine.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you have to. It's kind of like we say about the podcast. We want to create content that we would also enjoy listening to.
True.
So, I mean,
Want to enjoy watching what you're producing.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. Yeah. I like that. So in his entourage of boys, none was more of a star and more responsible for paying for those nice cars and the nice house and all of the other things was none other than Mr. Sean Lockhart. Kochis had been trolling for boys on the internet when he met Mr. Lockhart. A Rolling Stone article that I read described the young man as, and excuse me for being vulgar, but for like, hello, it's us, so.
Well, and you didn't create this term or whatever you're about to say.
I just loved how they described it because it's so accurate. So they said he was, quote, a rare find, a dead ringer for Zac Efron with a 7.5-inch penis and an unquenchable avidity on camera and a diva-like attitude away from it.
Wow. Okay.
Ooh, that's a sentence, honey.
I feel like that's most of the gay men I met in the early 2000s.
Well, like, even, like, in the movie, they do portray that very well. Yeah. When he's, like, looking at his hands, like, my manicure, I've had better. Like, yeah. Okay. All right, calm down. But Lockhart also had a secret. He was only 17. He had sent copies of faked IDs to coaches in order to perform for him. This was reportedly an idea his boyfriend had for him to make, like, a bunch of money. And that's a huge thing that they talk a lot about in the book, because there's more research done, I guess, for this book. And they do talk about how there was, like, numerous times where he would have multiple, like, scenes that he was filming. And coaches would make every one of them, you know, provide their ID beforehand and fill out paperwork beforehand. But Lockhart said he never would do that for him. Like, it was kind of like a nod to, like, he had to know that the ID that I gave him was fake. He only went by, like, an emailed copy. He never asked for a full copy. Eventually, he does ask for a full copy, and mm-hmm. Lockhart goes out to California and gets a fake ID, but that's neither here nor there, because at first he doesn't even try. Lockhart went by the name Brent Corrigan, a name that Cochus would later try to copyright. The DVDs and downloads of Brent quickly became the hot ticket. One film called Schoolboy Crush was the most downloaded gay porn video in 2004. Wild. Like, it's just wild. Like, this guy went from, like, I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Cochus in a minute. Okay. From where he went, for where he was to where he rose. It's like, all right, like, I guess you figured it out. As Brent had a vastly growing fan base, Cochus faced a problem. Brent wanted to go out on his own. Cochus was only paying him $2,000 per sex scene, about the industry standard for a handful of scenes each year. Cochus, however, reportedly cleared $2 million a year. When Brent caught wind of this, he was not pleased, but Cochus reminded him that he was in a binding, real fucked off contract. Like, yeah. This contract, you can see copies of it, and it's very open-ended, if you will.
Okay.
Like, there's no real, like, it's like, okay, well, what exactly does this mean? Well, it means what it means kind of thing, you know? And I mean, this kid's 17. He doesn't know what he's signing.
Yeah, exactly. And he was probably desperate to just be part of the business that when he said, well, you can do this work if you sign this, he probably just said, okay, I'll sign it.
So now, in January of 2007, Cochus was on the phone with his lawyer and his distributor, figuring out the final details of a legal settlement that would guarantee him continued profits from the name Brent Corrigan. He was also waiting for a new boy to come over, an aspiring new actor he hoped might take Brent's place. Danny Moylan was his name, and he had been emailing with Cochus for several days. From the photo he sent of himself, Moylan looked almost too good to be true. Fresh-faced, smooth-skinned, and naive, just the way Cochus liked his boys. The emails read very much like a young boy, someone who would honestly be enticing to Cochus. And it said, in quotes, would like to meet with you and talk about filming and stuff. Don't have much experience with this at all. May need to be taught first. Wow. Which for him is like immediate boner.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You don't know what you're doing? Okay, come here. I'll help you.
Yeah.
I'll show you what to do.
I mean, kid knows how to...
Yes, how to get... How
be
to butter
enticing.
Him up. Yes,
huh?
How to butter him up in a way. Yeah. So this was all that he needed to hear or read, as the case may be. And Cochus wanted to set up a time to meet. The boy wrote back, quote, can we please be alone at least the first time? And then Cochus replied, we'll be alone, no worries. He suggested bring your stuff and spend the night.
So this is a person who's of legal age, right? As far as he knows?
As far as he knows.
Okay.
He's just...
That doesn't make it any
looking.
Better, but
yeah.
I just noticed we were referring to him as kid and boy, and I just tend to do that with men of all ages.
18-year-old is a boy.
Yeah.
I mean, even like 24-year-olds I've referred to like sometimes as boy. I wouldn't have... 6 years ago, but like, I mean, the older you get, the more you refer to people as boy or girl, I guess, or younger.
Yeah, just making it clear, we're not condoning any form of like pedophilia.
But yes, this guy was at
like
least
that.
18 as far as he knew.
Okay, good.
He was at least asking like for email, like send me your ID along with your like information.
Got it.
So after that, no one really knows exactly what went down. So what we do know are some of these facts. Okay. And some of the facts are, there was no sign of forced entry, no signs of a struggle, and it was evident that Cochus had had someone over to interview and take under his wing, as many would call it.
His wing.
His wing. you know, that wing down there. Mm-hmm. No more than 2 hours later, Cochus had been brutally murdered with a knife in his own home. His neck was slashed so deep he was nearly decapitated. His hyoid bone, trachea, left carotid artery, and left jugular vein were all severed.
Jesus Christ.
I know. After he died, Cochus was stabbed another 28 times. After he died, he was stabbed another 28 times.
Rage.
Absolutely.
Or somebody gorked out of their mind.
That's another good point, too. So then after that, his house was torched, his body still lying on the living room couch. The fire was so bad that Cochus had to be identified using dental records. So a few things that I want to address before going any further. In the movie King Cobra, they remove like giant portions of this story, as I mentioned before, right? Mm-hmm. One example is that in the film, Brent returns home after Steven, aka Brian, right? They changed his name in the movie. So Brian in that movie, his name is Steven, I will say. Like it does, when I started watching it, I'm like, that guy's name isn't Steven, but
yeah,
it's just changed for the movie. So yeah, when Brent returns home after Brian won't give him a sufficient raise, and in retaliation, he reveals he was underage when he first started working with the director, and he also stays single. In the real world, according to Death of a Porn King, the book, he actually fled Coach's home after a neighbor discovered he was living there. Shortly after, he moved in with an older lover named Grant Roy. He and Roy worked together to try to take ownership of the Brant Corrigan brand, and a brand that, you know, obviously Coach is still controlled. But what followed was a protracted legal battle that took years to resolve. They reduce it in the movie. It seems like a few days, quite honestly. And they reduce it to just under a year, which is still not very much time. So yeah, it took years for this whole like legal battle with the name Brent Corrigan to go down. And it was, that's something that's really interesting to read about in the book, if you are more interested in like how this all was more built up than they really made it sound in anything else, if that makes sense. They make it seem like people got mad, death happened, and it was all just like real bing, bang, boom. But it was like, this was a long, long time. It was a long time coming. So also on that subject a bit, Roy isn't present at all in the movie. There is no Roy. There's no older guy that Lockhart, aka Brent, goes and is with. He actually had this older man that he was in a relationship with that kind of like coerced him and helped him try to take Cochus down in a way.
Gotcha.
Which I'll tell a little bit more about that. So they kind of, though, I will say, okay, so the one thing I wanted to point out was Roy's role was kind of imprinted in the James Franco role. You know how James Franco's role in this movie was kind of like, yes, he ran a porn industry, the Viper Boys, which is very real. But also he was kind of like this daddy figure to one of the boys. Like he was the boyfriend and like very much like the older guy who took care of his boyfriend. That's not true at all. That was kind of more of Roy's job with Lockhart. So
I feel like we see that sort of thing a lot.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like we see that sort of thing a lot in these Hollywood adaptations where they go, well, we have all of these different characters and we're going to just kind of combine those traits and those behaviors
into somebody else that makes it more interesting.
Exactly, into just one character. I don't know if that's just to make things more concise or to save money or...
or to be like, I'm the artist here. I get to change a little bit.
Exactly.
You know, because I get to, because I want to.
Yeah, I do think we see that a lot.
So yeah, that kind of brings me to the point. So what I wanted to say was Roy's role is, you know, sort of James Franco's character, Joseph Carreques, and his boyfriend, Harlow Quadra. Which brings me to the point of who the fuck are Joseph and Harlow? Within weeks of Brian Cochus's death, it became very clear that that one boy, Danny Moylan, that he was emailing with was not at all who he said he was, but rather a fake identity used by a young man named Harlow Quadra. Quadra worked as a male escort in Virginia Beach. 2 weeks before the murder, it turned out he and his boyfriend, another male escort, Joseph Carreques. I'm probably saying that wrong, but it is what it is.
We'll forgive you.
Had met with Lockhart in Las Vegas. Lockhart, aka Brent Corrigan. We're all up to speed, right? Okay. They had met in Las Vegas. There, over dinner and drinks at the Bellagio, Quadra had proposed that he and Lockhart do a video together, offering him $20,000 for their first film together. So just for one, when he was making $2,000 per film before, they're like, hey, we see you. We know you're worth more. How about $20,000 for one video? The only thing standing in the way was his deal with Cochus, of course, that I own you kind of thing. And Quadra told Lockhart that he, quote, knows someone who would do anything for him.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun. I was waiting for it. I was hoping you would do it. All of this information made police and many people wondering, had Sean Lockhart, the perfect-looking boy, arranged to have his boss killed so he'd go into business for himself? And had Brian Cochus, the man who victimized young boys, finally paid the price? That's a dun-dun-dun.
That is also a big dun-dun-dun. I was literally sitting here going, should I do it? Should I not? Dun-dun-dun.
So a little bit of background on that real quick. Brian Cochus, like a little bit of his history, which I briefly mentioned at the beginning. In 2002, police had found a videotape of Brian Cochus, who was at that point 39 years old, and a 15-year-old male in his home. Doing things. Recorded. Yeah.
Kitty porn.
Cochus was charged with child pornography and transportation of a minor for sexual purposes. So you called it. Since the boy had lied about his age, Cochus was given a probation sentence. And that's one of the first things they talk about in the book. It's kind of bullshit. It says, what I will say about it that I did learn was that in 2006, a judge, Michael Conahan, signed paperwork changing Cochus's sex charge from sex assault to corruption of minors.
Seriously? That
You're correct.
So Cochus's former attorney, Al Flora, said the change was made because the original charge of sexual assault of a child was a mistake and that, quote, we didn't realize there was an error until 2006. Which, that's such bullshit. That just means that you didn't have a connection before 2006.
Yeah.
Is what that means.
Yeah.
So as a result of that change, Cochus was not required to be registered as a sex offender. But I'm just saying, if there's someone in my neighborhood who was having sex at 39 years old with a 15-year-old, I'd want to know about it.
With someone that's literally less than half your age.
And you recorded it in your house.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
It's awful. But what it really, like, I also wanted to mention, I didn't put it in here, the kid caved and, like, told his mom, which means that kid was scarred. And that kid probably still is.
Absolutely still is. He's a victim. He's a sexual assault victim.
100%. He got nothing out of that. Like, especially, too, that he... I shouldn't say caved, but like it is what it is. Most people that are in that situation, they don't want to ever have to talk about it. But eventually you just do because you can't not talk about it anymore. And I just feel it's just awful. It's just awful. I can't imagine being his mother. Ugh.
It is awful. And I always say whenever something like this comes up in conversation about other cases and other situations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, people will be like, well, the kid lied and said that he was 18. And I was like, well, he still looked like a 15-year-old.
That's exactly what they talk about
in the
book.
And it's still disgusting that a man who was 39 years old was attracted to someone that at least developmentally looked like they were 15.
Yeah. He got away with this basically because he said, well, you know, the kid lied to me.
It's bullshit.
Okay.
It's no excuse.
No, it's not. So, on February 10th at 5:53 a.m., a SWAT team busted down the door of the Virginia Beach house where Quadra and Carreques lived and fired a canister of tear gas inside. But nobody was home. So.
That's anticlimactic.
Anticlimactic. The two had just vanished. They truly had just, like, picked up and they were gone. However, they left behind some evidence. And by some, I mean like a lot. Like they kind of, to me, it just seemed like they were like, let's just fucking go. Whatever we leave behind, we'll just stay on the run. They were not worried about covering things up.
Yeah. Grab your purse and your best shoes.
Pretty much. Let's get out of here.
The hell out.
We'll change our names. We're going to Mexico, like wherever, you know? So they did leave behind, though, two Sony digital video cameras with the serial numbers scratched out, as if that's going to do anything. The cameras were similar to the two that were missing from the Cochus home, of course. Not only that, but someone using Quadra's email had consulted an online message board for instructions on how to operate one of the cameras. Oh, and also this consult happened about 5 days before the murder.
Oh.
So.
Coincidentally, yeah. Air quotes.
A little bit of tea.
Mm-hmm.
So as police kind of closed in on these two, they used their newfound infamy as suspected killers and arsonists to what? Improve their business prospects.
What?
Yes, to improve their business prospects. They promoted a startup film studio site. It was boybatter.com. It was a gay porn gossip site that debated the murder.
Did you say boy batter?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know. When I saw it, I was like, Can we just, I have to like put it out there because people are going to be curious what the website was, but like gross, right?
Yeah. Gay men are the worst.
Some of the names, y'all, if you just like Wikipedia, Brian Cochus, porno names, there are some great names. I mean, some of them make you go, ugh, but like some of them, they're pretty creative. I'm impressed with some of the names they come up with. I am. In any case, yeah, boybatter.com. So yeah, they debated the murder, I guess, of Cochus. Like that's what the website was for, essentially. But like, they're the ones who created it. It was these two.
This is like people nowadays committing crimes and trying to use that for like social media fame.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is exactly what it is. And it's the very beginning of this because I feel like, I mean, this was like AOL times, you know? Yeah. It's like we're just starting to learn that we can use this to our advantage.
They probably had a MySpace account or something.
I bet they did. That probably still is there.
Yeah.
So they even offered Quadra's escort clients in Virginia Beach a special brand of role playing. Quote, Harlow's not a killer, but he'll act like one if you want him to.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Isn't that gross?
I mean,
that's gross.
Yeah, I mean, not kink shaming anyone. I understand
that
role play is role play is role play. But yeah, there is an actual life that has ended.
Yeah.
And these people are potentially responsible for that.
Yes. It's one thing to play the role as like some like sadistic, crazy serial killer, quote unquote. It shouldn't be someone who's actually killed somebody.
Yeah, that shouldn't be fetishized.
Exactly.
Yeah, in my opinion. Yeah. In my opinion.
It's not. Somebody's dead. Like, somebody's life is just gone now. And like, yeah, maybe he was a creepy guy. Maybe he did things that are very uncomfortable. But that doesn't mean you're allowed to murder him. Like, that's not okay.
Exactly.
And then make money off of it on top of it. So the two of these guys also made it a point to keep in touch with their potential business partners. At 10:14 a.m. on March 3rd, Grant Roy received an email. You remember who Grant Roy is?
Yes,
that's Lockhart's boyfriend.
Older lover,
yes,
right?
Yes. Hey, Grant, it's Harlow. So when are we going to start filming? You know we had an agreement. 3 minutes later, Roy received a more ominous message. We all know what you said to us at the AVN in Vegas, and we have it on tape recorder, and our conversation at Les Cirque is recorded as well. Don't fuck with us. To cement their deal, Quadra and Carecas came to San Diego for another meeting. By now, however, Roy and Lockhart were cooperating with the police.
Okay.
So essentially, they had that meeting saying, hey, we should do a video together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Quadra is like reaching out to Roy like, hey, man, like we have a fucking agreement here. You better come work with us. And that's something in some... What's the word I'm looking for? Some sources say that they were in debt and they needed this money. And that's why they were so like aggressively pursuing doing this video. I'm not sure if that's true or not. It does say it in a lot of sources, but like, who am I to say what their financial situation was? In any case, they were pushing hard for it. So yeah, they were working with the police at this point, but they had come under intense suspicion after Cochus was killed and they wanted to clear their name. So both agreed to wear a wire when they met with Quadra and Carecas. Quote, this was our only chance at getting concrete evidence proving that we had nothing to do with the death, says Lockhart. I was scared shitless, but the meeting wouldn't have happened without me, which is true. He's like, yeah, you can't do this without me. They want me. They don't care about you. Yeah. Like, it's my name. On April 27th, as a police helicopter whirred nearby, the foursome reunited over lunch at the Crab Catcher restaurant in La Jolla, which sounds amazing. I want to go there. But it wasn't until the meal was over and the group walked outside that investigators caught a break. Roy asked Quadra if Cochus had felt any pain when he died. Quote, don't worry, Quadra said, leaning over to Lockhart. He went quick. The four men agreed to meet again the following day at Black's Beach, a clothing optional spot north of San Diego. Quadra seemed to think that if no clothes were on, then that would mean no wires. He's like, well, I'm going to make sure that I know what's going on here.
I mean, I have to give it to him. That's pretty smart.
Pretty
I would
smart.
Probably make the same assumption, but we are talking about gay men.
That's true.
I mean,
they probably frequent the place and it's fine.
Yeah.
So even though he had this thought in his pretty little mind, Roy was once again outfitted with a wire. I'm not sure how.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
Don't ask me how.
I can draw my own conclusions.
I meant to look into it, but then I forgot. And I'm like, it's fine. We just don't need to think about it.
I can draw my own conclusions, but...
Maybe he had on glasses.
Or maybe...
I've seen that in like Spy Kid and shit.
Can they hide it in his hair?
I was thinking that too. Like there was some kind of like clip.
Yeah.
That would definitely work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, it was the early...
He was wearing a wire.
It was in the early 2000s. They probably hid it in one of his frosted tips.
That's... Oh, I am having such a flashback. So the 1 mile hike to the beach through Torrey Pines State Park covers steep terrain. And all four men were winded by the time they slipped out of their clothes at the base of a cliff and hit the waves. Together, Lockhart and Quadra sprinted on the sand. At one point, Harlow hoisted Sean onto his shoulders and carried him toward the waves. The talk eventually turned to the day that Cochise was murdered, finally. This time, Quadra was a little more forthcoming. He admitted being present when Brian died. Quote, he never saw it coming. Later that afternoon, he went even further. Quote, seeing that fucker going down, actually, it's sick, but it made me feel better inside, he said. It almost felt like I got revenge, and I know that sounds fucked up. On May 15th, 4 months after the killing, Harlow Quadra and Joseph Carreques were arrested in Virginia Beach and charged with homicide, robbery, and arson. Both pleaded innocent. Quote, I didn't do it, Quadra said while exiting the courtroom. Quote, I didn't kill that man. And to pay for his defense, he was selling free Harlow Quadra teddy bears, tote bags, and thongs online.
Naturally.
I'm like sure there was plenty of people who bought them, too. Yeah. Like, people who didn't like Cochise for whatever reason. Because that's one thing, too. I had a lot of that in here, but I was like, okay, that's going to be too long. But in that book, there was a lot of comments from people in the industry, whether they worked with him or worked out in San Diego, where it was a much more booming industry. There was a lot of people that didn't like him, that really didn't like this guy. And to me, it read a lot like, because of the pedophilia question mark, most people were uncomfortable with him for knowing that he was a little bit of a predator.
Yeah.
And most people in the industry would say that's the exact opposite of what you should be doing. But nevertheless, I digress. You still can't kill somebody for those things.
Yeah. Not you as walking, talking, civilian people, right. You know, I mean, there's a legal system in place to deal with these types of people and their crimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it does suck because I see the like anger because the legal system does fail you a lot of the time in these situations. But that still doesn't make it okay to murder. Anyway, let's go. We're going to get to the end of this because I didn't want this to be too entirely long, but you guys need an answer on what happened. So, well, on December 8th of 2008, Carreques pled guilty to second-degree murder, theft, tampering with or fabricating evidence, and criminal conspiracy, and was sentenced to life in prison without parole. So he's gone forever, no question, whatever. They're done. Done, done, done.
Good.
Good. Quadra, however, pled not guilty and went to trial on February 24th, 2009. He was found guilty of all charges. But on March 16th, he was sentenced to, I mean, I guess not but on March 16th, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole, and the jury declined to impose the death penalty. I did see, though, in one source that in April of 2009, he appealed his life sentence, which was clearly denied, because I also found a court petition that was dated March 20th of 2019.
Oh.
That said... We'll skip all the way to the end because he said, you know, it was for habeas corpus, all of that. That's what they always try for. Says at the very end, quote, for the reasons set forth, the court will deny the petition for writ of habeas corpus. A separate order shall issue. Date March 22nd, 2019. So it took them 2 days basically to say, haha, no, sit down.
Yeah.
Go back to where you are.
Go back to your cell.
Fucking psycho.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sorry, that's my opinion. It is what it is. I can't like this guy. The more you read about him, and I did do a little bit more reading just to kind of into like who he really was. And I mean, we can blame nature versus nurture, whatever it is. This guy was definitely, he needed more help than he could have gotten in this particular point of his life. And it's sad. The whole situation is just sad. It's just fucked up.
Yeah, the whole situation is very sad. There are a lot of bad people.
Yes.
In this situation, but... We, unfortunately, just because people are doing bad things, we can't declare ourselves vigilantes and go out and punish them.
Especially because the main motive was not for him to take him out for his wrongdoings. The motive was to take him out so that he could make money off
for money.
The Brent Corrigan name. It was all money. It was all disgusting. It's all incredibly salacious. The whole story. I mean, the book, it's a great read. I will say it's a great read. If you like to read, you'll get through it really quickly. If you don't like to read, you'll get through it maybe like a month. I'm just saying you'll probably read all of it still. It's a great book.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Great. Did you have anything to add to that?
I didn't. I did that thing that we've been doing this season where I'm kind of allowing myself to be a little surprised.
I liked that because I saw a little surprise in your eyes earlier where I was like, oh, he didn't know that.
I think really all I knew before today was I had watched the movie, of course, but that was many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I had read one article. I think it was the Rolling Stone article that you mentioned.
It is a great
article. Yeah, I think I read that article previously. But otherwise, a lot of this information I did not know. And I'm very interested in the book. But yeah, just a lot of bad people involved in this situation.
You would be impressed, too, I wanted to mention, with the investigators in this particular. I didn't put any of their names down, and I should have, but their side of it kind of in the book. Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job for what they're researching. You know, we've seen in the past where it's like, oh, it's a sex worker or a gay person, and put the two together, we don't give a shit. But these investigators really did like want to get to the bottom of this and prove what had happened.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. They took it serious.
They took it seriously. That. They gave these people, or they gave the victim, justice.
Yes.
Despite the fact that they were maybe
probably not fans of this person.
Yeah, and potentially part of what's considered two marginalized groups of people.
Absolutely.
Someone queer and someone who works in the sex industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks for letting me tell this story.
Yeah,
thanks for suggesting it, because I didn't really know much about this. And you were the one who was like, hey, this story is kind of interesting. And I'm like, this is wild. Okay.
I think we should actually shout out Hunter Schwarz for that, because
it was him. He suggested it
to me. And then I, of course, was like, actually, I think this would be a really cool case to do. And you said, well, I'm not really familiar with that. And did kind of like a brief dive into it. And then you were like, all right, I'm obsessed. I'm going to do this. So.
Thanks, Hunter.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. And congrats on your master's degree.
Congrats on the master's degree.
He has just finished.
He's a master of science.
He is.
I'm just that much closer to being a stay-at-home husband.
Yeah. Real Housewives of Ludlow, Kentucky over here.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. You know who else we appreciate?
All the folks. Thanks for hanging in there with me. I hope the story made sense.
I think it was lovely. And if the folks also think that it was lovely, they can reach out to us many, many ways. How can they do that?
Yes, we are slayqueenspod@gmail.com. That would be our email address. And then we're slayqueenspod Instagram, Twitter. You can go check out our Patreon. Be one of our little followers over there. Leave a nice rate and review on iTunes.
Yeah, we would love that.
5 stars across the board.
Yeah. It helps us to grow the queendom if you give us those good rates and reviews. And we want all the folks to be part of the queendom. So thank you to those who have already given us those nice rate and reviews. But if you haven't yet, please go and do it.
Please. Thank you.
Also, please go out and
slay queens.
Just not each other.
And not someone who you want to work with
or for
or something
have
like
worked
that
with
whatever.
Yeah, just don't slay anybody.
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
Okay, bye.
Bye.